Okay, good morning. Let's go right into prayer and try to get some studies done this morning. So let's go into prayer. Heavenly Father, we live in unbelievable, troubled times where the world under Satan's rule is fundamentally against you, your Son. Don't even care about your Spirit and your Word. And Father, we thank you so much for your Word, and we thank you so much for your Spirit that allows us to correctly understand and grow in the Word of God. Father, we pray that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to you, glorifying to your Son. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Before we get started, first of all, I appreciate your support of John Hentz, and he's been my friend since the 60s. We had a wonderful week at the conference that I'll be talking about over the next few weeks, and it's just an unbelievable conference. It's probably one of the best conferences I've been to of all conferences all through my life, and I'll go through some of the things that we covered in the conference. There's so many magazines out there, but one that Judith and I absolutely love is Grace in Focus. And it's put out by the Grace Evangelical Society. And it's really good. It's right down our line of thought. And I wanted to read to you. I was in the house, and Judith said, "Let me read something to you." It just came in the mail. This is March, April 2017. And she said, "Let me read something to you." And so this is what she read. Quote, "The Bible is the only source of divine viewpoint. It is the very mind of Christ, the living Word, expressed in written form. Therefore, if you, as a believer, are to have the divine viewpoint of life, you must know Bible doctrine. If you do not know God's thoughts on any given matter, how can you possibly think according to the divine viewpoint?" R.B. Thieme, Jr. And it was so funny when she read it. I went, "That's very good. Very excellent. I knew you'd like it." And excellent articles, and Dr. Zane Hodges, who I had in Dallas Seminary, they always have several articles by Hodges, and it just is really, really wonderful. Wilkin, I want to see Wilkin been in there a long time, hadn't he? Yeah. 86. Wow. And he's a super guy. In fact, what were you telling me you were watching one time and you saw me sitting in the audience? One of his videos? I know that guy. How'd he get in there? And it's just an excellent article. And then, for those of you that like to read books, which I do, my wife says I have too many books as it is, and she likes to point out you haven't read them, but they're resource. When I'm on a subject, I can go pick that book out, boom, there it is right there. But some of the books are just really, really good, right our line of thinking on the interpretation of the Bible. And so if you like the books, and it lists a couple of pages here of different books. I bought two out of this one. And so it just is an excellent magazine if you like magazines. Grace in Focus. Okay. Now, having given that a plug, let's get into our study. Let's open God's Word to 2 Corinthians 12. 2 Corinthians 12, where we left off two weeks ago. And what we're concentrating on is not to judge one another. And this passage is a packed passage, but it's not unlike our other passages. I think this one has the nasty nine, where a lot of them don't have that many. But there are many passages in James and Paul's writings, Peter, will list various things that you want to avoid. And I just love 2 Corinthians 12:20. For I am afraid that perhaps when I come, I may find you to be not what I wish, what he wishes to find them, and may be found by you not to be what you wish. In other words, they're hoping he'd come in and praise them and just fellowship with them, and they'd sit back and have a nice glass of wine and just everything would be wonderful. Well, if he has to come in and embrace them, that's not really what they want. Now, perhaps, and this is just his way of nice way of saying it is going on. There may be, okay, watch the list, strife, jealousy, angry tempers, disputes, slanders, gossip, arrogance, and disturbances. So this is quite a list that confronts a local assembly. But through the church age, every local church is going to have one or two of these at any given minute going on in that assembly. That's what you have to guard against. So we now have moved to the two that are an issue in our study, and that is slanders. Now, as you recall 2 weeks ago, you may not, but I told you there are various translations of the Greek word in various Bible translations. Slanders is also translated backbiting, defamation of character of others. And then note the next word, gossip. So what's the difference between slander and gossip? Now, slander is the Greek katalalia, katalalia. It's used only twice in the New Testament. It is used in 1 Peter 2. So let's look at 1 Peter 2:1. This word is used only twice, once in 2 Corinthians 12:20, and then the second one is in 1 Peter 2:1. 1 Peter 2:1, therefore, putting aside all malice, all deceit, words that are not in our list, hypocrisy, envy, and all slander. That's our word that we have in 2 Corinthians 12:20, slander. Now, the word gossips, also translated in other translations as whisperers, that's the King James, secret slanderers, which is a very insightful translation, secret slanderers, and murmuring. The Greek for this word is used only here in the New Testament, and comes from the verb to whisper, particularly, as one translation had it, to slander secretly, to be hurtful, harm another person. So, right next to each other, Paul mentions slander and gossip. What's the difference between slander and gossip? Now, we're going to look at a little bit of the difference, but before we do, I got a question. What difference does it matter? We're going to sit here, we're going to draw some fine lines between slander and gossip, and we can get into debates. Oh, what is the difference? I had fun this week. I asked John Hens, Jody Brown, one of the speakers, Wayne House, and just different people when it was appropriate. And it's interesting. People, the fine line just isn't there. So what difference does it make? They're both sins, and they're both sins of the tongue. They both hurt others. So one, they're both sins. Two, they're both sins of the tongue. Three, they both hurt other people. Four, they both separate you from the intimacy with Jesus Christ. Five, both put you out of fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Why get involved in a great discussion? Well, that's slander. No, it isn't. That's gossip. Oh, wow, there's a big difference. Which would you rather be accused of, slander or gossip? See? They're both horribly wrong and interruptive, if not destructive, to a local assembly. Now, I say these things because it is somewhat difficult to cut a fine line between gossip and slander. There are many sins of the tongue. Now, let me show you. Let's go back over the list. Go back to 2 Corinthians 12. 2 Corinthians 12:20. Let me show you something. First word is strife. You know what the King James translates this word? Debaters. Also translated discord. Quarreling. Do you see it? They all involve the tongue. They all involve getting involved with other people in not a corrective or edifying manner. But it enhances disagreement. Where there is strife, there is friction. And things often are said that lead to hurting the other person. You don't want to have that in your local assembly. So strife, the first one, deals with the tongue, causing strife, quarreling with one another in the assembly, or causing a quarrel to occur. And it can be over anything, or really over nothing sometime. It can be over doctrine, over behavior of another believer. The subject is not the issue here. Whatever they're quarreling about is not the issue. The issue is that you're quarreling. The issue is that you're causing trouble in the local assembly. That's what the issue is. Some believers are characterized by this sin. In fact, we could go through each of these. And generally, you'll find a believer, maybe ourselves, characterized by one or more of these. And if you read this, say, you know what? That always seems to happen. Wherever I go, they're always quarreling. Everywhere I go. Well, you might want to check that out. Is it them? Is it you? If everywhere you go, there's quarreling, what would happen if you weren't there? It wouldn't be the quarreling. So you want to be very careful as to whether or not these things characterize you. And then again, I guess we all are going to commit one of these at various times in our life, over and over at various times. We regret it later, wish I hadn't done that, and maybe it calls for you to go to the believer that you hurt and talk to them and get it straightened out. And that's what believers don't like to do. You know, I said something in the quarreling the other day, and it just wasn't called for, and I apologize. And the other person, if they're filled with the Spirit, fine, no problem, let's go. Let's move on. And just be sure you vote my way next. No. And but it's one of those things you have to be very careful in an assembly. Look at the second word. Jealousy. Now, we know that jealousy starts in the soul as a mental attitude sin. But people, it's a mental attitude sin that eventually expresses itself in either the tongue or overt action. Murder with the tongue, murder with the gun. Doesn't really matter. See, well, I guess it does to the person that you shoot. But these lead to, from jealousy, lead to the overt sins. And jealousy often motivates gossip and slander. Often, when you slander somebody, when you gossip, you're jealous of that person. And jealousy if not nipped, ruins friendship or relationships because we're jealous. We no longer want the best for that person. And nobody wants to be around somebody that doesn't want the best for you. They're jealous. And we study jealousy and spiritual love. Spiritual love is not jealous. Why is it spiritual love jealous? Because it allows God to bless other people without getting you out of fellowship. So if ever jealousy creeps in, and it does, it's part of the sin nature. It's part of the protection of our flesh nature. It's part of the immune system of our flesh nature. When you see somebody else praised, promoted, the immune system, whoa, what about me? What about me? Hey, look at me. Look what I did. Look what I do. It's just part of the immune system. So jealousy is something we all have right there on the forefront of our immune system, our flesh nature. What is the cure to jealousy? Spiritual love is not jealous. So it's real easy to nip jealousy, just be in the power of the Holy Spirit. But what I wanted to point out here is that jealousy often expresses itself in the sins of the tongue. Look at the third word. Angry tempers. Also translated rage, outburst of boiling rage. And I like that one because it means it's boiling up inside of you and boiling, and then all of a sudden, it just comes out. Where did that come from? It's been boiling inside of you. This is the Greek word thumos, to move impetuously. A violent motion or passion of the mind, anger, wrath, that eventually expresses itself and sins of the tongue. You attack, you slander, you gossip, you lie. And this can even go to overt sins, as does jealousy. So anger is often expressed with the tongue, lashing out at someone, whether they're there or not, doesn't matter. Therefore, angry tempers can injure a local assembly, people. And that's the point here. Paul, Peter, these right, James, they're talking about in the assembly. Now, if this happens in your home, in your marriage, in your family, just as destructive. But these are things you have to watch for in a local assembly. You come to worship God. As you drive to church every time, Sunday morning, Wednesday night, as you drive, you should go through your mind, now why am I going where I am going? I'm going to worship God. I'm going to study God's Word. I'm not going to compete. I'm not going to judge. I'm not going there to do this or that. I'm not going there to be praised for all that I do. I'm going to worship God. And that will cut you off on a lot of these. Now look at the next word. Disputes. Well, there's your tongue. Also translated strife, selfishness, selfish ambition, factious rivalry. And I like that one. Factious rivalry. People seek their own. Therefore, contention, strife, rivalry. Now, what do you think a dispute is, if not involving the tongue? Attacking one another. This is another thing that happens in a local assembly. Now, fortunately, doesn't characterize us here very often, but it's good to every now and then go over this list so we can correct our own souls. Now, look at the next two words. Slanders and gossips. Now, slander, the word slander means to defame. It means to insult, to backbite in a false fashion. Now, what you say may be a lie, what you say may be the truth, but your intent is to hurt. Slander intends to hurt somebody else. There, give you a little definition of it. One, the utterance of charges or misrepresentations which defame or damage another's reputation. We're not to do that, people. Well, gonna let them get away with that? If God isn't gonna do anything about it, I'm gonna do something about it. I'm gonna help God out here. God needs my help. So I'll slander this person. I'll take care of, I'll help you out, God. You just step aside and let me in here. People, let God handle it. Let God handle it. Secondly, a defamatory oral statement about a person. It can be written also. In the legal realm, it is referred to as a libel. Now, basically, if I misrepresent you falsely, attack you in a defamatory manner, and what I say about you in an open and public fashion, there's the real key. What we're going to see about gossip, slander, open. So that's why I did it this way. In a defamatory manner, what I say about you in an open and public fashion, which causes damage to your character in the minds of the people I am speaking to. That's slander. I hate to say it, modern politics is characterized by slander on both sides, all sides. It's characterized by slander. To defame or to hurt another person's reputation. And in other words, the thing I say about you may be true to me as far as my opinion. But if they're not actually true and they cause damage to your character, that to somebody else's character, that's damage. That's slander. That's just openly slandering somebody. Okay? What about gossip? What about gossip? Gossip is basically the same as slander. And there's the reason it's difficult to get people to give you a good handle on either one of them. It is more wicked, more vicious than slander. Why? Because it's done in secret. Therefore, the King James translates it, whisperings. That's a funny definition, isn't it? Whisperings. That's gossip. Gossip is slander for the spineless and the weak. The Greek word for gossiper is defined by the Complete Word Study Dictionary of the New Testament as, quote, a whisperer, a secret slanderer. So that's why it's difficult sometimes to really grip between gossip and slander. Gossip is slander, but it's done in secret. So the main grip you want to do with between gossip and slander, gossip is what is you whisper. See? The thing that makes a gossiper so wicked is that the gossiper puts forth their opinions in a secret and cowardly manner. Now, here's some of the things you can watch for. They often begin their statements with, don't tell anyone else. And you go, uh-oh, I think I don't want to hear this. See? Or, don't tell anyone I said this. Oh, that's interesting. So, you want to tell me something, but it's such that I can't tell anybody I got it from you. Or, keep this between you and me. See? Little gossips. Or, you didn't hear this from me. I love that one. You didn't hear this. Well, wait a minute. I think I'm getting ready to hear it from you. See? That's a smart person who can nip it in the bud before it even starts. Now, the gossiper wants his negativity, their slander, kept in darkness. And they want to use others as instruments to camouflage their wickedness. Often in the Christian realm, you hear gossip presented as prayer request. Prayer request. Let's pray. I don't know if y'all know about dear old brother so-and-so, so let me inform you so that you can pray more intelligently. See? That's gossip. And to me, that's the worst kind where you're doing it in prayer, camouflaging it in the spiritual realm. That even takes it, to me, another step lower. See? And it's often disguised as coming from, I'm concerned. I'm concerned about old brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so. I'm concerned. See? Well, don't tell me. Tell those in authority. Don't go whisper to me. Go straight out talk. If you think it's something damaging the local assembly, go to the pastor. Go to the deacon. Go to somebody in charge. Don't you go around gossiping. That's the point. Just because you end your comments with, let's pray for them, does not make it any less gossip. In fact, for me, as I said, I think it's more damaging. Now, to avoid gossip, never make a secret comment or have a secret conversation about another person or group of people. If it is said in secret, it probably doesn't need to be said. Probably just doesn't need to be said. You're trying to get people on your side. You're trying to get people against them. Whatever it is, in the family, in the local church, at work, in your social realm, wherever it is. See? And let's look at a few litmus for gossip. Would I want everyone in the church to hear me say this? And if your answer is no, you might want to keep your mouth shut. Just take it to God. Now, God, I know you know this, but let me tell you what this believer's doing. It's between you and me, God. That's fine. God can handle it. But don't go to other people in the assembly. See? So, would you want everyone to hear what you say, to hear your comments, hear your conversation about another person? Have I said what I am about to say about another person to that person? Would you do that? Would you go to them and say this to them? Well, no. Well, then why say it to anyone else? Well, I really don't have a right to go to them. Oh, but you have a right to go to the third person over here? Don't think so. If you don't have the place to go talk to that person, check it out. You don't have the right to go to anybody else and say those things. What is my motivation of sharing it with others? Is this statement negative? If so, why do I want to share it? Will what I'm getting ready to say honor Christ? That's the point. Oh, well, yes, because I want everybody to know how they're not honoring. That's not honoring Christ. You go to them. Will this statement, this conversation, lead me to those involved in a deeper relationship with Christ and a greater love for others? You go to somebody at church, family, social, work. Well, what you're saying, bring that person that you're talking with into a closer relationship with the Lord. Or will it do something to damage their relationship with someone else? Next. And what I'm saying, am I saying this in spiritual love? In the filling of the Holy Spirit? Well, no, I don't think the Holy Spirit would really be saying this. Then you shouldn't be saying it. That's the whole point here of gossip. Gossip is really very simple. Person A says something to person B, which is negative, about person C. Person C has no knowledge of this conversation. Person B thinks less of person C as a result of what has been said. And there's another little thing. He may think less of you. The person you're gossiping to He may think a little less of the person you gossiped about. But if he's any astute character at all, he thinks less of you for bringing that all out. Why'd you have to bring that up? So that person that you're gossiping to has lowered his opinion of the person you gossiped about and you. So you want to be very careful when you gossip. So what's the primary difference between slander and gossip? Basically, gossip is said in secret, whispered, as the King James says, between the gossiper and one or two or just a few people, while slander is spoken outwardly with the intent to hurt the person spoken of. One of the horrors of gossip is betrayal of trust. Betrayal of trust. Look at Psalm 41, one of the most powerfully important psalms in the book of Psalms. Psalm 41. Psalm 41. And let's read verses 4 through 7. Psalm 41, 4 through 7. As for me, I said, O Lord, be gracious to me. Heal my soul. I have sinned against thee. So this person knows that they've been sinned. Now, my enemies speak evil against me. Slander and gossip. And it's true. He's telling you what they're saying is true. I am a sinner. I've sinned. When will he die? That's what the people are saying about him. When will he die? And his name perish. Now verse 6. And when he comes to see me, he speaks falsehood. When that person comes to see him, they come as a friend and speak falsehood. And when he comes to me, he speaks falsehood. His heart gathers wickedness to itself. It's gathering information about you. When he goes outside, he tells it. He tells what he's learned in intimacy with you. And he betrays it. Verse 7, all who hate me whisper together against me. There's the gossip. Against me, they devise my hurt, saying. And so then it goes through what they say. So here is the betrayal. Generally, a gossiper betrays a trust. Now, the principle of gossip is found in Proverbs 11. Let's look at Proverbs 11. Verse 13. He who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets. People, let me remind you, the only person that can betray you is an intimate friend. An enemy cannot betray you. You know they're an enemy. But a friend you trust. A friend you say things to. You speak freely. And they betray that trust in gossip, slander about you. So, Psalm 11:13. He who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets. But he who is trustworthy conceals a matter, a sin, a wrong, difficult times, difficult things going on. That's what happens here. A person that's trustworthy. Who's trustworthy? Who isn't? No way of really knowing. Sometimes you have your friend. One to me, one of the worst things that can happen is in a divorce. And boy, do they let it all out about the other person. Public, if they're movie stars or famous people, boy, they let it all out. What a shame. You learn those things in intimacy, and now it's your turn to go spread it all around. And so a gossiper, a slanderer, reveals secrets, betrays trust. This person knows intimate things, but keeps quiet. See, if God needs to discipline, let God do it. Let God do it, not you. You walk out being in their company, and they say or reveal certain things to you, you don't try to take advantage of that. Walk out praying. Okay, Father, I'm getting out of the way. And I turn them over to you. I'm sorry that my friend has to go through this, but I'm leaving it up to you. He does not need your help. It's amazing to me how many believers sin, gossip, in order to help God discipline another person. God doesn't need our help. Let Him handle it. See? If you need a warning, let's look at Matthew 12. If you need a warning, let's look at Matthew 12. Now, I'm thankful when I went through Dallas Seminary for the professors I had, by and large, in all departments. But one of the things that started coming into Dallas after I left, and I know this because I've talked to students who graduated after I did, was what is called the Markian battle. That Mark was the first gospel, and that Matthew took things that Mark said and just expanded on them. They're not true. It's amazing how many things people don't believe today. On Wednesday night, we're studying the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We studied how the graves opened up and they were, that really didn't happen. That's just an allegory. And there really were no guards. That was just an allegory. See? And Matthew got that from Mark, but Mark gives you just a very little. But all that stuff Matthew gave about angels and everything, that's not true. And so there went a long time, a great battle, and it was going on while I was in seminary, but fortunately, my professors weren't into it. And making Mark the primary gospel, and that the others copied Mark so they could expand on Mark. And what they expanded is not true. And of course, we know all of that's not true. But that's just one of the things that came up. Now let's look at Matthew chapter 12, and let's read verse 36 and 37. Matthew 12, 36. And I say to you that every careless word that's coming out of our mouths, that men shall speak, they shall render account for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned. So if you need a warning against gossip and slander, there's a little warning for you. Now, for a few minutes, let's go back and just finish our list before we move on. So let's go back to 2 Corinthians 12:20. And let's just finish the list. We're almost through with it. We're through with our main thing of gossip and slander, but let's just finish it up. Next to last, arrogance. Also translated, conceit. The King James translates it, swellings. I love that. Swellings. Proud thoughts. It's translated insolence. Now, out of a Greek lexicon, to inflate. Puff up through pride. This is having not only an exaggerated sense of one's importance, but in self-righteousness, he thinks he's important. This is the opposite of humility. You can be humble. You can be arrogant, puffed up about yourself, how great I am. See? Now, We're not pressing the ideal of sins of the tongue related to arrogance, for arrogance is in the soul. But people, it will reveal itself in speech. It will reveal itself. Arrogance starts inside, but eventually it'll come out. The first arrogant creature in history, Satan. How did it come out? I will be like God. I will ascend to where God descends. The five I wills of Satan. So it will eventually express itself in speech. A beautiful passage on arrogance is found in Hannah, the mother of Samuel, in her song of thanksgiving. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2. And we're just going to read a little bit. Let's read. This is her song of thanksgiving. And so we'll take a look. Someone said this week they wished that people that use their phones and their computers to find passages, they wish that those had sounds of turning pages on them. Well, that's just a beautiful sound, people turning pages in the Bible. And I agree to that. All right, 1 Samuel chapter 2, and let's just read the first three verses of this beautiful song. Then Hannah prayed and said, "My heart exalts in the Lord." All right, that's where your exaltation should be. "My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth speaks boldly against my enemies, because I rejoice in thy deliverance. There is no one holy like the Lord. Indeed, there is no one besides thee, nor is there any rock like our God." Now look at verse 3. "Boast no more so very proudly. Do not let arrogance come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and with him actions are weighed." In other words, the motivation for things that we do. Now, the last of the nasty nine in 2 Corinthians 12:20 is translated in the New American Standard, disturbances. Now, you might like the first comment in one of the Greek lexicons, unstable. So this is a person that's unstable emotionally, spiritually, unstable, rebellion, insurrection, turmoil, disorder. What is really interesting is how all these are interrelated. They're all interrelated. Look at James 3. James chapter 3. Yeah, you're going to have your Bible. It's a Bible church. James 3. I still think and love and remember when I was a little boy in Sunday school and training union on Sunday evening. We'd have sword drills. And you'd stand up there and you have your Bible and they'd give it. And when you got it, you stepped out in front. And after a while, you got to where you stepped out before you found it. And I'll tell you what's really embarrassing. There's no such book as the one they named. And you go, uh-oh. And then they say, read it. And you go, uh-oh. And so you learn not to be so fast on the foot. And but it was so good to learn where all the books were in the Bible. And I loved that. But James chapter 3, look at verse 16. James 3, 16. "For where jealousy and selfish ambition," both these words are in our list that exists in local assemblies, "there is disorder." This is our word, disturbances. "And every evil thing." So you see how they're all intertied. They intermingle. You have these in this passage, he says jealousy. And a selfish ambition. There exists disorder. Debates. Quarrels. Strife. And every evil thing. Evil to the local assembly. We have two directly sins of the tongue in this list, gossip and slander. And we've seen how they're expressed with the tongue. But people, there are other biblical words that go along with gossip and slander. For an example, judging. The problem here is that this word can be used in a good context or bad. We are to appraise another believer if he or she lives habitually out of the Spirit-filled life, contrary to Scripture, and not associate with them. We saw that in Thessalonians. But there is also judgment where it is completely out of the filling of the Holy Spirit and in sin. Look at Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, you are without excuse, every man of you who passes judgment, that's judging others, for in that you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same thing. Oh, no, I don't. Yes, you did. You just did when you judged. It's like breaking one part of the law. You've broken it all. See? You break one little part of the law, you've broken the whole law. See? Look at verse 14 in chapter 2. For when Gentiles who do not have the law do instinctively the things of the law, these, not having the law, are a law to themselves. That doesn't say anything what we're doing, because that wasn't the right passage. It's Romans 14, chapter 14. Romans 14. Chapter 14. Verse 10. Romans 14, verse 10. This will read a little clearer through our study. But you, why do you judge your brother? Are you again? Why do you regard your brother with contempt? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of God. That's after the rapture. We're all going to stand there. You don't need to judge them. God's well aware of what's going on. God will take care of it. See? They're just little things we learn growing up. If you have character and have parents that teach you things. Let's say you're in school, junior high school, high school, and you look over there, and there are these two guys, two people, two friends, cheating. Oh, teacher, no. You say, okay, that's their deal. It's going to come up there. It'll catch them. It's none of my business. It's not up to me to report them or turn them in. I think the most masterful cheating I have ever seen in 20 years of education was in high school. This guy was sitting in class. There's the door out to the hall, big hall, windows over there, and they both knew sign language. And he just sat there and gave him the question, and the guy would look it up, answer back to him. And that was cool. That was really cool. Problem, another teacher walked behind on the backside because he had to stay like this so he could look in the book. And a guy behind him, the teacher walked up behind him. And what are we doing? And so that was the end of that one. But I just thought that was really cool. You know, we've all seen them where they write on their hands or their sleeves or shoes or something. But boy, they didn't have to write anything, say anything. No kind of commotion, just... And so they got caught. Just leave those things up to God. They're up to God to take care of them. Also, in chapter 14, look at verse 13. We looked at verse 10. Now let's look at verse 13. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore. It was going on, but let's stop it. But rather, determine this, not to put an obstacle or a stumbling block in a brother's way. Now, let's look at James. James is pretty powerful on the local assembly and what goes on in the local assembly. Look at James chapter 2. James chapter 2. And let's read together verses 1 through 4. My brethren, people were brothers, were sisters, were related. We're going to be together for all eternity, like it or not. They're going to be with you forever. Forever. So, let's just calm down here in time. My brethren. Now, the thing about that is, though, as it's always been, you know, in eternity, we're not going to remember a person's sin and sin nature, their inherited sin nature and things they did. But I can't help but believe there's going to be some people who are going to go, there's just something about you in heaven. Just something about you. I can't put my finger on it, but there's just something about you, brother, in heaven. I don't think that's going to happen. All right. James chapter 2, 1 through 4. My brethren, do not hold your faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ with an attitude of personal favoritism. For if a man comes into your assembly with a gold ring and dressed in fine clothes, and there also comes a poor man in dirty clothes, and you pay special attention to the one who is wearing the fine clothes and say, you sit here in the good place. And you say to the poor man, you stand over there or sit down by my footstool. Have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil motives? See? Very beautifully stated. Look at verses 12 and 13 in the same chapter. So speak and act as those who are to be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment will be merciless to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. And that should be what guides us in our individual lives. Look at James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Verses 11 and 12. Do not speak against one another, brethren. He who speaks against a brother, and that's gossip, slander. He who speaks against another or judges his brother speaks against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge of it. Therefore, there is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you who judge you? Who are you who judge your neighbor? People were not to judge one another. So, we gossip, we slander, judging, maligning, these different words. We look at the words. We have gossip, slander, judgment. Another word, very quickly, maligning. Malign. Now, for the sake of time, you can write it down. Titus chapter 3, verse 2. To malign no one. To be peaceful, gentle, showing every consideration for all men. But to help in an understanding of this word, not only are people malign, but the truth is malign in 2 Peter 2, 1 and 2, where they malign the word of God. So we're not to malign. And then there's a third word. Another word, blaspheme. Well, it translated blaspheme, but it means to hurt the reputation. So we have gossip, slander, judging, maligning. Oh, we could add lying. We could add deceiving. These are all things that we do with our tongue to hurt one another. Now, I want to close. I have a whole other page of passages. We'll let this go for another time because next week I want to get back to 1 Corinthians 11. But I want to close this with Galatians 5. Galatians 5. Verse 15. But if you bite and devour one another in an assembly, or it could be in a family, word social, but it's talking about an assembly. But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. In other words, you destroy the whole assembly. The whole assembly becomes ineffective for Christ. But this is what happens. You bite. You devour one another. Bite, gossip, slander. And devouring. That comes out to the slander and attacking, lying, maligning. All these things, you destroy the assembly. People, the objective is the assembly. Fulfilling its purpose in the glorification of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's close in a word of prayer. Well, Heavenly Father, we just had a good picture of ourselves. We just ran through a big synopsis of our own tongue. And throughout our lives, Heavenly Father, we find ourselves guilty. But Heavenly Father, our objective is to minimize all of these things in our lives, in every area of our life, in the church, our families, in the social life, that we glorify Christ, edify the other person, encourage them in Christ. Father, I pray your Spirit will take the things we've seen, use these things to the honor and glory of Christ. In his precious name we pray. Amen.